there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hi, I'm Wendy Zuckerman, and you're listening to Science Versus. Today on the show, we are pitting facts against, are you a feeler or a thinker? Are you extroverted or introverted? Yes, it's science versus personality tests.
Okay, when you go somewhere for the day, would you rather one, plan what you will do and when, or two, just go? Why are you laughing?
I mean, what do you think?
Our producer, Michelle Dang, is giving her good friend, Gabby, the Myers-Briggs personality test.
I think you're more just go.
Yeah, I would say I'm pretty much just go.
This is the one, you know, that tells you, are you an ENTJ or an ISTP? And this test is huge. These days, nearly 90% of Fortune 500 companies give it out to their employees. Well, at least that's according to the Myers-Briggs company. It's also all over the dating apps.
Are you more attracted to a person with a quick and brilliant mind or a practical person with a lot of common sense?
That's hard. Okay, if you're going to give me the absent-minded genius versus, like, the dude who can be good with money
and cook.
And cook, like, I think the latter is much more desirable.
I'm going to hit the submit button and we're going to find out.
Oh, no.
Drum roll.
I'm scared.
So, INFP.
INFP. This means she's introverted, intuitive, that's the N, a person who feels rather than thinks her way through situations, and perceives rather than judges. The description goes on. Gabby is quiet, friendly, sensitive, kind, dislikes conflict. And by the way, Gabby has done this test before. She's actually really into Myers-Briggs. And she says that this description, INFP, it fits her like a glove.
It's kind of cringe that I'm exactly like this profile that somebody had constructed, like how basic.
But even though it might feel a little basic, Gabby actually told us that finding out her personality type was a game changer. For her, it all started back in high school when she was first doing these tests. High school was tough for Gabby. She had trouble making friends. And it was just hard to make sense of it all.
I was always trying to figure out, like, why are people doing the things that they're doing? So, like, why did my parents get divorced? Why is my sister acting this way? Why is my mom acting this way?
She felt like something was wrong with her. But then seeing, no, you have this very specific personality type, the same type as other people out there. Well, that just felt so good.
I found something where I just felt so represented in. I just remember feeling like, okay, like you are not defective at all.
And personality tests like Myers-Briggs have kind of taken on this life of their own. Online, people swear by them when it comes to picking the perfect romantic partner and also the perfect job. For Gabby, it's helped explain parts of her relationship with her parents and also her very good friend, Michelle.
It made so much sense to me, like, why we gelled so well.
This is what we do.
Yeah, we're so cute together.
So, while Gabby is very into these tests, the thing is, for a lot of people, there's always been this question behind tests like Myers-Briggs, which is this real? Or is this just astrology dressed up with a monocle? There are headlines that call Myers-Briggs meaningless and bullshit, while others defend it. Here's Gabby.
You try to find anything helpful out on the internet, you're just going to get a lot of screaming matches who are, yeah, misinformed and loud about it. But I guess that's just the internet in general.
What do you have to say to people who just say that MBTI is bullshit?
Okay, now I'm going to go really INFP. It just bothers me that people will like reject this adamantly, but then they'll be like, oh, like I'm anxiously avoidant attached, or like I'm the people pleaser in my relationship. Like, those are labels, right? Like, why are people so rejecting of being a personality type, but they're going to be a type in some other way?
So today on the show, we are going to get informed and loud about it. We'll find out, are these tests really bullshit? Are they real? To tell us all about this is Michelle Dang. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Wendy. Okay, let's get into it. So our personalities actually start showing up pretty early on. Like, you can see that babies who are more scared of strangers and new toys are more likely to become introverts as they grow up.
Oh.
And the cool thing is that it's not just humans that have personalities. Squirrels, spiders, even sea anemones have them too.
Sea anemones have their own personalities.
Yes. But the question that I have, and you know, that Gabby has, is that can you really put people into these specific buckets? Which is what these personality tests are trying to do, right?
It is very interesting, because I think the personality types idea is so attractive, because you do meet people in your life where you just sort of think, oh, you remind me of this other friend that I have. Or if you're going on dates and you're like, oh no, you're like that other person that I dated and I didn't really have a good time. I'm not going to do this again.
Uh-huh.
It definitely feels like you could type some people in your life. But can we?
Yeah. So let's start with the big one, which is that test that reeled Gabby and me in. It's the Myers-Briggs type indicator.
Yes.
So
yes.
The MBTI. Some of our audience might know that this test wasn't born in a university. Like, it wasn't developed by scientists.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It came from a magazine writer called Catherine Cook Briggs and her daughter Isabel Myers.
Mm-hmm.
They got this idea of typing people, you know, plunking everyone on the planet into a bunch of categories from Carl Jung, the Swiss psychoanalyst. Now, Catherine Briggs was a super fan of Jung. She even wrote this sexy fan fiction novella that seemed to be about him,
mm-hmm.
where a patient worships and starts falling for his Swiss doctor, who's, you know, a psychoanalyst.
Ooh, Catherine, stop it.
Yeah. Eventually, the daughter, Myers, decides to write all these questions and make the MBTI test.
Okay.
That, you know, will allow you to fit into these four types. Long story short, she sells it to a testing company in the mid-70s and it blows up. People freaking love this thing.
Okay, so tell me a bit more about these four types that we're getting plunked into. The I, the N, the S, the P.
Yeah, so they're asking, are you extroverted or introverted? Sensing or intuitive? Do you focus more on small or big picture things? Thinking or feeling? Do you use logic or emotions more to make your decisions? And finally, judging or perceiving?
Yeah, what does that mean, judging or perceiving?
Kind of asks, like, do you live your life in a more organized or flexible kind of way?
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Alexander Swan, a psychologist from Eureka College, about Myers-Briggs, and he told me that so many people, like Gabby, get really excited when they see their letters.
They're like, oh, yeah, this explains a lot about me. It's almost like a superpower. I know my four letters, and I know what I can do in this world with those four letters. I just blazon them on my chest so everybody knows who I am.
Wendy, do you have your MBTI emblazoned on your chest?
No, but I do know it. I think it's ENTJ.
Okay, cool. Let's look up the description.
Okay.
The first sentence is frank, decisive, assume leadership readily. How do you feel about that?
I mean, feels pretty right. Like, I am your boss. I have
That's
assumed
true.
That leadership. Readily.
Executive producer.
Executive producer.
It also says you're forceful in presenting ideas, which I think that kind of lines up.
Yes. Yeah. The show is called Science Versus, not Let's Chat About Ideas. Yes.
And to top it all off, they even have a chart that shows you what kind of shoe fits your MBTI profile the best.
Oh, okay.
And you, an ENTJ, is the classic work shoe. Smart, businesslike, and comfortable in the executive suite.
I mean, if you're going to be a shoe, that's not a bad one, right?
Yeah. And I mean, shoes aside, this test does pop out a result that can really click for people.
You go, okay, so that's my true type. But is it though? There's always that lingering question like, well, is it your true type?
So scientists wanted to find out if we can trust this test.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their big questions was, how reliable is this thing? Because if these tests were your true type, then you would expect that every time you did the MBTI test, you would get the same answer, right?
Yeah, right. If I truly am ENTJ in my heart of hearts, it shouldn't matter if I'm doing the test in January or March or whatever.
Yeah. And in fact, according to the people who came up with this, your personality type should stay the same your whole life. But the thing is,
when you test people a month later, even 2 weeks later, it's in some cases, they don't get the same four-letter combinations.
For example, one study from the 70s, it gave over 100 people the test twice. They tested them 5 weeks apart.
Okay.
And what they found was that on the second test, about half of the people got a different personality type.
Half?
Yeah. About a third of people flipped on just one letter, but still that, you know, that can really change your personality description that you end up with. And other studies have found this kind of thing too. Even the Myers-Briggs company says that 35% of people, so roughly one in three, don't get the same type after around a month. And after 4 months, half of people get a different type.
So maybe I'm not so forceful in presenting my ideas, Michelle. Maybe I'm one of those nicer ones or whatever it is.
Yeah. But yeah, for example, if you flipped from an E to an I to an introvert, you would become no longer a business shoe. You would be goth shoes.
Is a goth shoe, I'm imagining like a platform situation.
Yes, that's really large black platform shoes. Description is self-contained, clever, and just a little scary.
Yeah, I don't think I'm scary at all.
I talked to Emery Beck from the University of California, Davis about why the MBTI isn't super reliable. She's a personality psychologist, which she really loves.
I feel like I very much have kind of won the lottery that I get to do this with my everyday life.
So Emery told me the reason people can flip-flop on the MBTI is because this whole test likes to lump people into black and white categories. You're extroverted or introverted, and people just aren't so simple. Like, for example, when scientists actually measure how extroverted or introverted we all are, we fit on a bell curve, meaning that most people aren't on such extremes.
Most people fall close to the middle. That's just probability. I may be someone who is extroverted, but that doesn't mean that I can't sit alone and read a book.
Yeah, when it comes to extroversion, most of us are what you would call an ambivert, a bit of both.
An ambivert. I like this word. I like this word. And it feels, yeah, it does feel really true. I mostly am extroverted, but I also do need to just spend time on my own sometimes. What about you?
I'm introverted pretty much most of the time, but I do find myself wanting to be extroverted sometimes. Now, if you are a middle bell hump person, when it comes to the MBTI, Emery says,
if you would take that test again, it's actually quite likely, especially if you're in the middle, and most people are, that you are going to get the opposite letter that you got previously.
So that's why we can switcheroo on our MBTI, but that's not the only problem here. Like the Myers-Briggs test puts you in this club, saying that you, Wendy, are like all the other ENTJs out there.
Right.
And Gabby is like all the other INFPs.
Mm-hmm.
But Emery's like, let's say you're just a teensy bit extroverted.
And you are in the 51st percentile. Therefore, you get extroverted.
Right. You're categorized as E.
Yes.
But then, you know, someone else who's in the 99th percentile gets the same thing that you do.
So the MBTI is bunching all these people into the same bucket, even though they might act super different.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But I guess, just to play the devil's advocate, like for people like you and me, who I would say I'm pretty extroverted, you're pretty introverted, it feels like we would mostly fit into those buckets. And at least it would be accurate for people who are on those ends of the spectrum, right?
Yeah, but you have to be on the ends of the spectrum for like each of the four different categories.
Mm.
But let me take you to the next grape.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wendy, if we take a closer look at your supposed personality type.
Okay.
For example, ENTJ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're usually well-informed, well-read, and enjoy expanding your knowledge and passing it on to others.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the basis of the show, right? I expand my knowledge and then I pass it on to others in the podcast. Like, that feels very accurate. Yeah. Yes.
So you agree with all those, right?
Yeah.
Here's what Alex would have to say about that.
People think that that is speaking directly to them, when in fact it's just a vague and general statement.
Hush. Hush.
Emery said it a little nicer.
So I am an ENTJ.
Ooh, twinsies.
I very much am high in extroversion. So I'm like, yeah, that tracks. And, you know, I am a scientist. So, you know, I spend most of my time thinking. That is my job. But there have been studies that have given people false feedback on their personalities. And what we actually find is that reliably, even for people, you know, like me, who would, you know, say I would score high on these dimensions that would make my, you know, Myers-Briggs profile make sense, I would make sense of something that is the opposite one. And I could make that fit in sort of like, you know, with my narrative of my life.
Okay, Wendy, let's do a little test.
All right.
I want to know if you think this fits you.
Okay.
Curious, quick to see possibilities, can be catalyst for implementing ideas.
Yes, that very much feels like me. What numbers?
It does sound like you.
Right.
That is an INFP.
INFP?
Which is three letters different than you.
All right. Wow. Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
So, you know, you can just kind of see here that, and studies have found as well, that when you give people random vague statements, they tend to think, yeah, that's me.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny because in the context of like, is this you? They don't feel that vague.
Yeah. And it's not just about the statements being vague. Alex has also done this work suggesting that when people use this sort of like profound and complicated sounding words, people think that they're getting this very deep insight.
Mm.
So yeah, you got to be careful by, big words, people throwing around flowery language, pseudo-profoundness that's meant to obfuscate and redirect and make you think that it's doing more than what it's actually doing.
Pseudo-profoundness, right. I guess like a catalyst for implementing ideas falls into that category. I mean, I'm obviously not an enzyme.
Yeah, so maybe our brains are tricking us into thinking that these test results are more insightful than they really are. And this doesn't just happen with personality tests. Like, you might have an influencer or a politician using complicated, deep-sounding words where audiences think, ooh, that person is so smart. Psychologists actually call it the guru effect.
Oh, man. Yeah, you see that all over. So can I just ask, how does Gabby feel about all this?
Yeah, I asked her. I've come to the conclusion that these tests are, there's no evidence for them.
You know, that's totally fair. For me, it's reliable and has given me a lot of insight into myself and other people. So why so hateful? You know, I mean, I don't know, if anything can offer you a springboard to be introspective, like, why hate on it, you know? Why gotta be a hater?
She makes a good point. Why gotta be a hater, Michelle? What is the harm here?
Yeah, scientists they told me that, you know, if your personality type kind of rings true for you, then probably not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But where it gets dicey is when people use this sort of thing to make big decisions in their life. Things like what kind of job you should get or who you should hire mm-hmm. or the kind of person you should be with romantically.
Right.
But the thing is, research doesn't back this up. There isn't a strong link between people's types and what kind of jobs they gravitate to or what they're good at. Even today, the MBTI company explicitly says that employers shouldn't screen out job applicants based on their personality type.
Uh-huh. And then what about if using it to find a romantic partner?
Yeah. Studies can't see that couples with the same type work better or worse than couples with vastly different types. Mm-hmm. They also can't use a couple's MBTI to predict how many relationship problems they'll have. And we did reach out to the Myers-Briggs company to ask about the stuff we're talking about. They didn't get back to us. But they do say on their website that, quote, there are no best or more successful combinations of types in relationships, end quote.
Oh, so even they say quite explicitly, like, do not use this for compatibility matching.
Yeah. Bottom line, when I asked Alex about stuff like partners or jobs, he said, when you take this test and out pops this personality type,
that by no means should indicate who you should work with, how you should work, who you should be with, how you should be with them in a relationship or a friendship.
Okay. All right. Do you know, years ago, Michelle, I did a personality test. It wasn't MBTI, but a very similar one with my college boyfriend. And I was just about to break up with him. He had a terrible sense of humor. And we did this personality test. And it felt like it described him so perfectly, like his individual description. I remember one of the things it said was, your facial expression looks like you're thinking deep thoughts, but you're actually thinking nothing.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, he knows him so well. And it did a compatibility test thing too. And we were like the perfect match.
Wow.
And Michelle, I stayed with him for another 6 months because of it.
Wait, because of the results?
Because of the stupid personality.
Even after it told you that there's nothing going on in his head?
Yeah, but then it still said we were the perfect match for each other.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I was like, all right, maybe I'll give it another go. 6 months later, I broke it off. So, wish I'd had this podcast then.
That's really funny.
Yeah. I guess to be fair to me, it wasn't Myers-Briggs that I was basing this off. There are other tests out there. Are any of them better than Myers-Briggs, more trustworthy?
I'd say the popular ones are Enneagram and Socionics. Mm-hmm. When I looked into them, I found a lot of the same problems.
Right, okay.
So they're often putting you into buckets or types that just don't really exist.
Okay, so here's where we're at, I think, Michelle. These personality tests, they do sound quite a bit like astrology. They're using these fancy words, putting us into these buckets. And sure, they might be a bit of fun and give you a tiny bit of insight into who you are just by virtue of the fact that you're reading something and thinking, oh, is that me? Is that not me? But you should absolutely not use them to stay in a cringy relationship for any longer than you wanted to be in that relationship. Is that about right?
Yes, that's right.
This was just a piece, a little piece, on our full and super interesting personality test episode. To listen to the whole episode, you've got to head over to our main feed. So to do that, it's really easy to find. You just search for Science Versus, that's Science VS, on whatever podcast app you're using, and then click on our episode, Personality Tests, Who Are You Really? We look at what popular personality tests can and can't tell us about who you are and which one you should trust the most. I'm Wendy Zuckerman. I'll fact you next time.